The CEO of the National Farmers Federation, Ben Farger, joins us now. Ben, I believe you've actually been on the ground in the area that is of issue at the moment.
Yeah, g'day, Stephen. Yes, I have been in Griffith today, and so there was a lot of people assembled there. It's hard to tell when you're in those meetings because there was people outside, but they're saying 4,000 or 5,000 plus, so a lot of people and a lot of angst.
The Murray-Darling Basin Authority, the government's saying that it's an independent authority and that's why they haven't had any direct control over it. Have they got a? Has the authority got a point, or are they just missing it completely?
Look, they've got an axe they're trying to work to, and people say, you know, the act is good or bad. But the fact of the matter is, they've got to work within the confines of the act, they say. But the problem is that the process around this has been very wanting, and the people have been crying out for information in these communities for months and months and months, and it just didn't come, and then they delayed the report during the election campaign, and then they were going to release it last Friday at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and then it was leaked to the press, so it was in the press Thursday, and so people have just been knowing not which way to go on it, and the cuts that are proposed, even though they're draft, are very, very high. So it's really set a lot of hairs running in regional Australia. A lot of people are concerned, people are angry about it, and it really does need to settle down and get back into control, because it's really affecting people's confidence out there.
Ben, can you just give us in general terms a background on what the actual issue is from the farmer's perspective? For people that aren't across it, what are we talking about? What's the crux of this?
Yeah, sure, Sam. Look, the crux of this is that we've been involved in water reform in Australia for some time. I mean, we all know that we've got to do more with less, and the farmers know that too. So we've been trying to get more crop per drop and put in new irrigation technology and infrastructure and try and breed new crop varieties that we can try and grow more food with less water, basically. And that's been going on for a long time, and we've been setting up markets for water in Australia so we can trade water to high-value use. And that's all been tracking along nicely, I guess. But one of the key things we need to do now is get a new basin plan in place to try and work out what the sustainable take of water is. And what the Act says is that they're going to try and focus on protecting environmental assets in the basin. And because we're short of water in Australia, basically that means that production water, or water for growing food, irrigators, is going to be cut to take water to the environment.
Are we actually short of water, or are we just not handling what we've got properly?
Well, I think that's a very, very good point. Obviously, water's scarce. We know we live in a very dry climate, and droughts come and go, and we've seen droughts in the last decade, and now we're seeing floods as well. So the long-term future, though, is a dry climate, or a dry climate variability. And so we're going to have to do more with less. However, there are smart things you can do around infrastructure and engineering to provide environmental outcomes, but also mean we can still grow food and fibre. And our big beef with this whole thing is not that there's going to be change. We know there's going to be change. Not that there's going to be more water for the environment. Farmers live with the environment every day, and we need a healthy river too. But that there's not going to be balance, and we're not going to look at those smart things we can do. Because if that's not done, then there's obviously going to be angry irrigators saying, well, hang on, you're taking water from us, but we're not looking at how we could do it in a smart way. And indeed, you haven't even identified what environmental outcomes you want to achieve when you take it from us anyway. And that's why people are pretty heated up.
Yeah, about 15 years ago, I was actually a fruit grower in the Riverland, which, so we're talking smack bang in the middle of the problem area. And I remember back in those days, we used to use flood irrigation. So we'd basically have a pipe that came up out of the ground at a row of trees, and I was growing stone fruit and grapes. And you'd just let masses of water flow down through the crop, which obviously wasn't the most efficient way to do things. But I know that all farmers have switched over to either sprinklers or drippers or more efficient ways of using it. They're treating their soil so that the plants are more water resistant. There's not that much more that farmers can actually do, is there? It is time for government to step in and actually say, well, guys, we need to help you, isn't it?
Well, look, you're right. It's been a marked change, a generational shift in thinking of the way we use water now, and people just use so much technology to try and preserve that precious drop and try and get as much food production out of it, exactly as you say. There's more that can be done, and we're trying to find, through research and development, new ways of doing things. But we think that is a partnership with the government, and we do think that while we need a healthy river, we want to be able to grow food and fibre. So It's all about balance. It's all about efficiency. It's all about trying to find smart ways of doing things and also bringing the community along with you as you go, because you're not going to get water reform and sustainability outcomes in Australia if you're not working with the people that manage the water. It's as simple as that. And at the moment, as we saw in Griffith today or other towns in New South Wales and Victoria, in the last couple of days, South Australia tomorrow, people don't feel that they're part of that journey, and they're pretty angry as a result.
The government's announced an inquiry today that's going to be headed up by independent MP Tony Windsor, which on the face of it looks like it might be the right thing because he's a rural MP, but realistically could be just some window dressing. Is this inquiry just going to be a talk fest, or do you expect real sustainable outcomes to come out of it?
Well, look, we're going to make sure there's sustainable outcomes out of it. It can't just be a talk fest. We've welcomed it. We've welcomed it because, while we've always respected the independence of the Murray-Darling Basin Authority, at the end of the day, we believe it's for our elected politicians of the day to decide what measures actually hit the ground. And the fact that today the Parliament's saying we are not just going to be at arm's length from this, our elected officials are going to get involved in this, we think that's welcome. However, it is just that, and the announcement of an inquiry. It's not going to relieve the anger that we've seen today with some people just very uncertain about what their future might hold or for their children in these communities. So it's part of an engagement with politicians. That's good. It's got to be tangible outcomes from it. And realistically now, with the minority government that we've got and the numbers being so tight, really the government can't afford not to get some good outcomes from it. Otherwise, they'll simply never get this thing through their parliament anyway. So, look, another opportunity, another point of engagement, another opportunity for farmers and regional communities to have their say. We think that's a good thing.
Just finally to wrap up, Ben, in real terms, if things were to go ahead as they do with the 3,000 to 4,000 gigalitre reduction, in dollar terms, in real terms, what does that mean to the farming sector in Australia?
Look, not to overstate it, if you look at those numbers and run those numbers out state by state, you're talking about massive cuts to irrigation water. And those massive cuts are going to mean a lot of job losses, and they're going to mean a lot of job losses not just in regional areas, but right through the economy in terms of transport and through the supply chain, food processing. And you know, those people are going to have to find jobs elsewhere or move elsewhere. And if they're going to move to the cities, remember we're having a debate in Australia about how we get people out of the major metropolitan areas. So it's going to cost money. It's going to mean dislocation. It's going to mean less food and fibre in some areas, because we're talking about 40, 50% cuts. So if you cut 50% of your water in a certain area, it has to have an impact. That's going to flow through food prices. It's an issue for all Australians. And it, unfortunately, if we're not careful, it'll be bashed towards a farming v environment issue, which will be a shame. It's not a farming v environment issue. It's an issue about how to get balance, how to get a healthy river, but get some food and fibre outcomes.
Well, that's right. It's something that affects all of us. Ben, I appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on Backlash.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
That was Ben Farger, the CEO of the National Farmers Federation.